Good morning. If you have your Bibles, just open them to the passage that Richard read. Chapter 5, verse 16. We're deviating from the book of Genesis today because it's Mother's Day. And traditionally, we do a service for Mother's Day dedicated to mothers. Title of the message today is Mother's Day 2019, Encouragement for Mothers. What's the matter? What did I say? Something bad? Okay. All right. So we're gonna take a look, at this passage of Scripture, because one of the big complaints that a lot of people say is that they're stressed out. And see, if you want to know the truth, being stressed out is really the same thing as saying I'm in the flesh. That's the same thing. Because a person that is stressed out is not walking or is not filled with the Spirit. So it's important to understand that. And so we're going to look at it, because bringing up a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is a spiritual endeavor. It's a spiritual activity because it is clearly outlined, mandated, if you will, in Scripture what we're supposed to do in relationship to that. But see, our culture dictates something else. Our culture does not put a high value on being a mother, all right? It doesn't put a very high value at all. Matter of fact, to a great extent, motherhood rates below college, okay? Bringing up children rates below travel. Nighttime leisure activities, going to the gym, job, career. Children are viewed as a sacrifice. And I know from my wife and I bringing up four children, people are not, they don't hesitate to say things like, oh boy, you wait till they get to be teenagers, man, you're going to have your hands full. Or why'd y'all have so many kids? Or, you know, there's a way you can keep that from happening. You know, they'd say stuff like this, my wife was pregnant and stuff. And so you can see that by people's statements, they don't put a high value on children. I brought up four children, and the funnest years I had with those children was when they were teenagers. I would take children as a teenager and bringing them up any time of my life, man. And I'm talking about all the way from 12 up to 20, by the time once they were out of college, they were gone. That, to me, was the most fun. And I would have liked to have had a lot more of them. I wish we would have had more of them, because it was so much fun in that time, because you can reason and logic with them and interact with them, and you see them changing and making decisions in life. And it's just a very fun time to have kids. To me, the struggle is when they're little, when they're little babies, about the age of my grandkids right now. Because you can't make them do anything. They don't do chores. They don't. When they get a little older, they'll get into that kind of activity. And that's when it'll be fun dealing with them. But when they're little bitty, you know, you can't be as rough with them. I like put a headlock on a kid and take them to the ground, you know. I just like that. Now, I'm a lot older now, but it's fun. It's fun to do that, rough house with them and stuff. But bringing up children is a spiritual endeavor. It's a spiritual activity is what it is. And it's a very important part of the Christian life. And there's a right way and there's a wrong way. We're going to look at it this morning in Scripture. And a lot of mothers are working other jobs, but you've got to learn that where your priority is. Your priority is going to be your children, because your children are eternal. Your job is temporary. And so they need that guidance in their life. My hat's off to moms that have a job and bring up children. But motherhood is a place of honor. It's a place of recognition, because of the challenges that it brings. And so it's important for us to understand that. So let's pray, and we'll take a look at our passage. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for our mothers. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you give us in this life. We thank you, Lord, for the goodness that we have. And we pray for this time. Help us to understand your word, take it and apply it to our life. Father, through this message, encourage mothers who are here, but yet encourage all of us, Father, for the passage is universal in application. And we thank you for that. We pray and ask these things of you in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Our Mother's Day passage is Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. We look at this passage here, and Paul, as he writes this, he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now, that word walk, or as it's used there, to walk in the Spirit, is in what we call the progressive present tense. And without getting real technical about it, what that means is it is to be a continual activity. If you were to read it, it would read like this. Keep on continually walking in the Spirit. It's what we're to do every day of our life. We're to be, as believers, we're to be people that are continually walking in the Spirit. Now, what does the word walk mean? Well, walk is how you get through life. If you're going to move from point A, this stage, to that door down there, point B, you have to put one foot in front of the other as you move in that direction, okay? And as you put one foot in front of the other and you move in that direction, you will progressively get there. So walking is something that takes place one step at a time. And so walking in the Spirit simply means every moment as you progress through a day, you're to be walking in the Spirit. The word walk is a metaphor, meaning that it is a word applied to an object or an action which is not literal, okay? So he's not saying literally walk in the Spirit. That's a metaphor for living the life step by step. You follow that? That's what he's using in this passage right here. So he says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, what is the significance of the Spirit? Well, every believer is indwelt with the Spirit. Every one of us is, okay? You're indwelt with the Spirit. Look with me in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Paul, same writer, says this. He says, but you are not in the flesh. And he's using flesh in that sense, in the sense of the spiritual flesh, not the physical body. He said, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you're not a believer according to Scripture. And the Scripture tells us we were all baptized into one body in 1 Corinthians, okay? So the fact that you have the Spirit in you, that's what sets you apart as a believer. The presence of the Spirit of God, the life of God in you, is the presence of God's Spirit in your life. So apart from that, you do not have spiritual life, okay? They are synonymous. Spiritual life is the Spirit of God indwelling you, okay? So what is involved in walking in the Spirit? If we read this passage, Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is involved in it? Well, we're going to look at some other passages to see that. Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians 5, verse 18, a very familiar passage. And we're going to flip between this passage and another passage. And that other passage is Colossians 3:16. So you just take and put your finger right here on this page, or East Texas, finger right on this page, hold it there, and then flip over to Colossians 3 and look at Colossians 3:16. And let's read 5:18. 5:18. It says, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled. And that means be being filled. It's continual action. Be being filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you notice in that passage, two primary relationships, our relationship with God, our relationship with our fellow man, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, okay? Very, very important. Go to Colossians 3, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is where the flip over comes. Go back to Ephesians and look at Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks to the Lord. Back to Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Note the similarity there, okay? Being filled with the Spirit and the Word of God dwelling in you have synonymous results. So what is this concept of being filled with the Spirit? It's to be controlled by the Word of God. So the first step in being filled with the Spirit is to have time in the Word of God. Let the Word of God be a part of your life. So apart from the Word of God, it's going to be very difficult for you to be filled with the Spirit. You understand? Because the whole idea of being filled with the Spirit is not some concept of like this water bottle being filled with water. You're not full of the Spirit or half full of the Spirit or quarter full of the Spirit or something like that. Filling is an absolute condition. You are either filled with the Spirit or you're controlled by the flesh. They are absolutes. There's no partial activity in there, okay? You're either Spirit-filled or you're flesh-filled. You're either controlled by the Spirit or you're controlled by your flesh. They're absolute, okay? And the way for the Spirit of God to be in control of your life is, number one, the Word of God, and number two is prayer. Because you know in that passage, he says, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks to God always for all things in your life. Prayer is simply communication with God. It's you talking with God. So the way you walk in the Spirit is, you've got to have the Word of God, so you're meditating on the Word of God, and then you're at the same time, you're praying to God. See, we have created, to a great extent in the Christian church, prayer is an activity. We have a prayer meeting. Let's gather together for prayer. Let's pray before our meal. Let's pray before we go to bed at night. So we have designated prayer as a specific activity that takes place at a specific time in the day in our life. But in reality, when you look at Scripture, prayer is to be a continual activity in our life. Why? Because the human mind is not to be idle. Daydreaming is a sin, okay? To not be meditating upon the Lord is to invite problems into your mind. Your human mind needs to be focused. And our priority in life is to be focused upon God. So we're to be meditating upon that word. We're to be allowing that word to enrich our life. And as it does so, we respond back to God with praise and prayer as we talk to God. We're in communion with God. That's how God has designed us to be. And when you do that, you're filled with the Spirit, you're not going to have anxiety. You're not going to have the anger. You're not going to have what the world calls stress. You're not going to have that. You're going to be filled with the Spirit, because one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And so this walk is a daily thing. So the next thing is this. How do you know when you have finally arrived and you can put your spiritual life on autopilot? How do I know? What is the distinguishing factor The distinguishing factor that you can know that your life is on autopilot is non-existent in the Bible. Okay? I'm just trapping you on that. Because like, people are like, ah, this is the part I want. Let's get this autopilot. There is no autopilot. You have to live and walk the Christian life every day, every minute. The Christian life is a life of discipline. It's a life of steady focus. It's a life of obeying what the Scripture says. And there's a reason for that. And this is very important right here. Go back to the Galatians passage, and let's look at something there. Galatians chapter 5, we looked at verse 16. First half, let's look at the second half. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Note what that passage says. That your flesh lusts against your spirit. So what does that tell you? Well, read the passage. Look at it real quick. I say then, verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, if you're not walking in the Spirit, the counter to that is you are fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So that tells you it is one or the other. You're either going to walk in the Spirit or you're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's no autopilot. There's no neutral ground. It's continual activity. And it takes a very disciplined pattern of life in order to be successful at that. You know why? Because your flesh is ever present. And if you're not actively engaged in the Spirit and walking with the Lord, your flesh is going to rear up. You know, when I came to faith in Christ, that's when I really noticed sin in my life. Up until that time, the only way I was concerned about sin was the consequences when I got caught, or the reaping of bad decisions that would come back later. That was the only thing that really bothered me. As far as just a regular old sin, I was kind of oblivious to that. And then the day I got saved, the next day I woke up, I was like, wow, this stuff bothers me, you know. And there was conflict there. I didn't have that before. There wasn't anything there before. But when I came to faith in Christ, I'm like, wow, man, this is crazy. I had a young man I led to the Lord here recently, and I was talking, interacting with him. And I said, how's your life going now? He said, this is tough. I said, what's tough? He said, sin. He said, I'm so aware. He said, I didn't even know I had that in my life before. And he said, but now all this stuff pops up, and it bothers me, and I know it's not right, and it's there, and it's present every day. Then I said, welcome to the Christian life, because the flesh, when the Spirit of God comes live within you, your flesh is going to be stirred up, brother. And so it's a constant battle that you face. Do I give in to the flesh, or do I yield to the Spirit? Which one? Because the two are contrary. Now, let's ask this question. What is this thing called the flesh? Okay? I'll give you a quick picture. Just look at Galatians chapter 3, and you have a quick picture of what it is there. Galatians 3, and look at verse 3. Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Real simple, folks. The flesh is human effort. The flesh is you trying to do something. Okay? That's what the flesh is. The flesh is you solving something or doing something apart from God. You clear on that? Because, folks, the fruit of the Spirit is just what it says. It's not the fruit of you in the Spirit. It's not the fruit of you. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is a work of God. God produces the Spirit. So what you have to do and what I have to do is line up to where the Spirit of God can produce that fruit. What is that? Intake the Word of God keep my mind, my focus on God, meditating upon God, thinking about God, not being idle-minded. And if I do that, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because what happens when you are filled with the Spirit, look down at verse 22. When you're filled with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That's what the Spirit of God produces in your life. Love, kindness, joy, self-control. Okay? So your life becomes wholesome. It becomes together. It becomes consistent. But when we get stressed out, what happens is we have momentarily lost our focus, lost our place with God. And what you need to do is clear the stage, back up from that, confess the sin, and get back into that right walk with God. Look up at, if you would, verse 19. And I'm in Galatians 5. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies. I mean, I promise, every one of us in here at one time or another has seen someone that's jealous. We know, we can see that. We've seen people that are contentious. We've seen people that hate. We've seen people have outbursts of wrath. I mean, when you go through this week, watch and observe, and you'll see people that are jealous. You'll see people that have outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, all those things. You'll see it. The easiest place to see it is when you look in the mirror. That's the best place to look, because when you look in the mirror, you're going to see that person that's guilty. Well, why? Because that's what we are, folks. We're human beings. We are humans. And if the Spirit of God is not controlling our life, this is what's going to surface in our life. And you know, when this stuff surfaces, the stress factor in our life goes up. The frustration factor goes up. So, you know, the best encouragement from others is understand that what you're doing is an honorable thing. What you're doing is a godly thing. And it is an activity that needs to be done as you are filled with the Spirit. But see, that application applies to every one of us. That applies to life. Our life is to be lived walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. So my encouragement to moms is this. Don't let the world tell you. Don't let the world dictate to you what is admirable, what is honorable, and what is respectable. Being a mother is an honorable position to have. It is a challenge to have. Because what you do as a mother is you are inputting into a being that is eternal. That you will have a significant impact, not only in their life, but in the lives of all those that come into contact with them. And we need, in our nation, we need godly mothers that will input into their children values, Christ-like character, guidance for life, decision-making skills, all those kind of things. It is an honorable thing. And if you had a mother that did that in your life, you're blessed. You're blessed beyond what you can think. Because a lot of the fortune that you have in life and a lot of what you reap is because you learn manners, you learn how to interact with others, you learn how to respect, honor, and treat others. And you know what? It puts you in a position of honor before those people, but that didn't come natural. You were taught that by somebody. Somebody had a hand in your life to guide you. And most likely, it was a godly mother. It was a mother that cared enough to spend time to give you that direction. And when you obeyed and followed that direction, your life was better as a result of it. So to all the moms out there, happy Mother's Day, and you're blessed with the job that you have. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. And I pray, Father, that we would do as your word says, that we would be people that walk in the Spirit, that, Father, we would live our life in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That, Lord, we would sing and make melody in our heart one to another and unto you, and live a life of contentment and peace in all that we do. For we ask this and we pray this of you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. We're going to have an invitation. Joey is going to lead us, and if you'd like to pray with one of the elders or ministry leaders, we will be down front. You're welcome to come and speak with us at this time.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Find me all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
join hands as we dismiss in prayer. Just want to give one little shout out. When that lightning strike hit, I mean, this room was dead. Lights, computer, camera, everything gone. And Joey and Christy worked hard to make this place where we could come into it today. So thank you to you guys for all you did. So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for what you do. And Lord, we thank you for moms. And Lord, I just pray that we will celebrate the gifts you give us every day. Lord, I just pray the challenge that we all receive today, Father, to be filled with your spirit, to walk by your spirit, not in the flesh. And I pray we battle against that. You are a good, good Father. And I pray that our lives will reflect that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.